Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on this feast day of St. Epiphanius of Salamis. Known as the Oracle of Palestine, this Bishop of Constantia Salamis, Cyprus, was born in Palestine in 310. He became an expert in scriptural languages, took time as a monk and a hermit, but in 333 he was ordained and made abbot of a monastery. Became bishop in 367, was a foe of the Arians' heresy. He was an authority on Mary and taught the primacy of Peter among the apostles. He died in 403. On today's Trumpet, OSU correspondent Dominic Demetay talks with the Director of Faith Information and RCIA at the St. Thomas More Newman Center at Ohio State. You know, as Catholics, we know all about bingo, but have you heard of luxury bingo? Well, you will coming up soon. Kevin Lowry stays close to home in this week's conversation. But first, when Father Jim Black came to St. Joan of Arc Church in Powell last year, he was met with a vibrant and growing parish. As the numbers grew to around 3,500 families, so did some of the needs. One of the blessings that recently took place over Easter was the moving of the tabernacle from the Eucharistic chapel to the sanctuary of the church behind the main altar. With Jesus present in the Holy Eucharist in the main church, parishioners now come into the church with new reverence as they genuflect before him in the tabernacle upon entering their pews. Father Black speaks with Carrie Magowski as he explains the inspiration behind this move and the physical and spiritual preparation that must take place as a transition like this occurs.
I'm joined here today with Father Jim Black, the pastor of St. Joan of Arc Church in Powell. Welcome to the Trumpet, Father Black.
Thank you, Carrie.
We recently had a very big blessing come to the church where we moved the tabernacle into the main sanctuary of the church. What was the inspiration behind moving the tabernacle, Father Black?
Well, when I arrived here at St. Joan of Arc about a year ago, I noticed that, obviously, and you know, there were legitimate reasons when the church was built that it was the tabernacle was in a different place, but now those have changed, and so I felt the need to bring the tabernacle back. That's always been in parishes where I've been when I grew up. You know, the walking into the church to see the tabernacle there and the light there was just a very powerful reminder that the Lord is present, you know, in the church, and so I think that was something very important, and to have the tabernacle there when Mass is going on is important. The Lord is here both in our community and in the Word and in the sacrament. And so having all of those together is a very powerful presence of the Lord. And to see that with the people, I've noticed a difference as people come into the church. We did some education about a change in gesture, you know, genuflecting when you come into the church, which our people have not been used to, a bow to the altar. And to see that, and to see especially parents teaching their children to genuflect, you know, that's a really powerful reminder that the Lord is present also in the Eucharist, as well as, again, in our gathering of the people of God, and as well as the proclamation of the Word. So having that presence there in the tabernacle has made a big difference, you know, a spiritual difference to have the Lord present there in the Eucharist all the time. And as we approach and coming into the nave of the church, you know, there's a different feeling because, you know, there's an awareness that with the sanctuary lamp lit, that the Lord is present. And so we've seen, and I felt myself personally, a very powerful change in the space that we gather together, that the Lord is there waiting for us. You know, when you walk into an empty church, you know, and you see the Lord is there already, you know, calling us almost to come and worship him, to gather in prayer together with community. And so the presence there has really made a powerful difference.
We had some sacraments take place this weekend with the confirmation and then the first communion the next day. And I just noticed, even with the bishop attending for the confirmation, there was just such a beautiful spiritual aspect to the confirmation. So I know it was a true blessing to have our Lord present, as he always is, but in a very special way. And then you also, there was some physical aspects to this move too, because we had a built, actually, the stand for it. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. The stand that the tabernacle is on now in our sanctuary is the stand that it was in the Eucharistic chapel, the same stand, but it was a shelf that was attached to the wall. So we had to build a table to support that because the wall now is a stone wall. So we didn't want to interrupt that with drilling into it. So we built a table that it stands on, and then our maintenance men worked with the company that did the building of the wall behind the sanctuary and did some matching panels to go around the legs of the table, so it looks like it's a permanent position. It is a permanent stand, but the stone blends in with the, so from the back it looks like it's a suspended shelf and blends right into the back of the wall. So that was quite an endeavor, and our own maintenance staff was able to do that. So that helped a great deal.
And it does look beautiful. It looks like it was always meant to be right in that spot. It's perfect. So thank you very much, Father Black. And if you would like to come and see the tabernacle, we are at St. Joan of Arc in Powell. So thank you very much for your inspiration, for the blessing of doing that. And thank you for joining us on the trumpet.
Thank you, Carrie.
All are welcome to visit this beautiful church. For more information on the parish, visit stjoanofarcpowell.org. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet. It's 6 minutes past the hour. In today's conversation segment, Kevin talks to his son, TJ, about the importance of Catholic education. TJ is a recent graduate of Franciscan University.
This is Kevin Lowry with St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Today I'm speaking with my second son, TJ Lowry. TJ is a recent graduate of Franciscan University at Steubenville, and I wanted to talk to him today about the value of a Catholic education. TJ, welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Dad.
Well, I know that you finished your coursework back in December, and you've been working now for a few months, but I also recognize that this is the time of year where a lot of people graduate from Catholic high schools, Catholic colleges. We've got some great institutions around town and around the state, and you've had some time to kind of absorb what this has done for you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your particular journey?
Well, my journey started back in high school when we were looking around for a college to go to. And it made my decision a lot easier because since I was about 2 years old, I've heard you can go to any university you want to, as long as it's Franciscan University.
Your parents told you that?
My dad told me that.
Yeah, I may have said that.
So it made my decision a lot easier. But going there, I noticed that after about 6 months of adjustment to going from a homeschool environment where I was pretty much just by myself with my siblings to being surrounded by great people over there and just constantly bombarded by people that are better than me. And so I go over there, and after 6 months to a year, I meet some wonderful people who've taught me a lot. And the number one thing that they taught me was being a servant in the workplace, in my marriage, and to all my friends. And I think that's where the Catholic education has really made a difference in my life, is by reinforcing that.
Huh, that's interesting. So now, you majored in accounting.
I did.
But you also had to take other courses, right? You had to take Catholic theology courses, I believe.
I did.
Did you learn anything in those?
Those were some of the hardest courses I ever had to take. But those were the ones I was actually most determined in.
Uh-huh.
I use those as a challenge to look at it. The accounting courses will get me through my career. The theology and philosophy courses will get me through my life,
mm-hmm.
and the life afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God, I was married while I was still at college. And the last semester, I took a philosophy and a theology course that I learned so much from. That has taught me how to be a better husband, how to one day be a better father, how to be a better brother and a better son. And the professors really gave me a new perspective on what it is to be a Catholic servant and all of those types of relationships.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I personally think you're a great son, but let's also talk about some of the other ways that this impacted you, because I think, again, I look at the value of Catholic education as something that, first of all, a lot of people get, and it's a really wonderful and powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
How has that played out in your own life? I mean, how do you approach your work with a CPA firm any differently?
Well, I read in a great book by this guy I know and learned from a couple friends and my wife to actually say the rosary every day to work. And I'll tell you why that helps. Going to work every day, you know that you're going to be bombarded with stresses and responsibilities, and you know it's going to happen. by saying the rosary, I found that I become relaxed. It's a great point of meditation before you even get there. Mm-hmm. It's a nice daily refresher, kind of like washing your face, but instead of washing your soul. Mm-hmm. It gets you ready for all the pressures and the responsibilities. And every day, I've noticed that it gets easier and easier, and it doesn't bother me quite as much. I don't bring stress home like I used to. And it's made such a huge impact that I didn't think was even possible until I gave it a shot. And you know, they say 3 weeks makes a habit. Going on 27 days, I've been saying it, and I can't tell you the difference in my life.
Yeah, that's a fabulous habit, because certainly that's an incredibly powerful mm-hmm. prayer. And I love your cluing into the whole servanthood mentality. I don't think that there's a better example that we have than our Blessed Mother. So that's great. So tell me, in terms of the Catholic education that you had, what are some other things that you got to do while you were at Franciscan U?
Well, something that stands out probably pretty well is I got to go over to Austria for a semester. Mm-hmm. And my roommate and I tallied up the countries that we visited, and we probably went to about 17 different countries after it's all said and done. And being able to broaden my experience with other cultures has been vital. I've learned a lot by going over there. And something else that Austria provided me was having all the art and all the wonderful churches over there, it's inspiring. Hmm. And being able to deepen my faith while surrounded by the beauty was immensely helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that you also posted lots of pictures on Facebook of you at the Lamborghini factory
I
and
did.
The BMW factory.
I think we made a couple other stops along the way.
I think that was meant to torture your dad. Well,
it
but
was.
But that's a fantastic experience. It amazes me how those types of things stick with you, along with people taking an interest in you. I'm sure that that happened to you during your tenure. I know that you had a beautiful and wonderful homeschool teacher.
My Her name's
wife.
Mom.
That's right. But at Franciscan U, you made some really good relationships there as well, right?
I did. Some of the best friends that I still have to this day and will carry forward, I imagine, for the rest of my life, were from Franciscan U. And they've helped me through struggles and helped me celebrate triumphs, most recently the wedding.
Right, absolutely. And that is a great bunch of people, for sure. Well, TJ, thank you very much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Dad.
And I appreciate your insights on the value of a Catholic education that you and a whole lot more people are receiving and will stick with you for the rest of your life. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks.
This is Kevin Lowry with St. Gabriel's Trumpet.
Okay, Sue, you're up. What's going on in the diocese our listeners need to know about?
Well, Chip, May is the month in which Catholics traditionally honor the Mother of Jesus, and it's the beginning of the pilgrimage season for the Basilica and National Shrine of Our Lady of Consolation in Cary, Ohio, beginning Sunday, May 4th, and continuing each Sunday through the last Sunday of October, an outdoor rosary procession with a statue of Our Lady of Consolation takes place at the 2:30 p.m. Sunday devotions. For individual and group pilgrimages and additional information, call Brother Randy at 419-396-7107 or visit www.olcshrine.com. The Catholic Record Society is celebrating its 40th anniversary this year and will mark that occasion at its spring meeting on Saturday, May 17th at the Westminster Thurber Community, Neal Avenue and Goodall Street, Columbus. Appetizers will be served at 11:30 a.m., followed by lunch at noon, a talk by diocesan historian Donald Schlegel in the auditorium, and a short business meeting. Schlegel is the secretary of the society and editor of its bulletin. He will trace the history of the organization since its inception in 1974. For more information, contact Mike Finn at 614-268-4166. Back to you, Chip.
Thanks, Sue, and by the way, happy birthday. Please join Bishop Frederick Campbell for the second annual Luxury Bingo event benefiting the Columbus Women's Care Centers on Thursday, June 26th at 6 p.m. in the exquisite Ivory Room at Mir Nova Place downtown. With cocktails and heavy hors d'oeuvres by Cameron Mitchell, exciting bingo games offering luxurious prizes, and a live auction featuring an exquisite Napa Valley trip and the Ohio State University football packages, among other great things, this will truly be a one-of-a-kind event. Women's Care Center is the nation's largest, most successful pregnancy resource center, serving more women in more locations than any other. Your gift will directly support the Columbus Women's Care Centers. Currently, there are 950 babies expected by mothers to be helped by these local centers. In a few years, these babies alone will fill over 32 kindergarten classes. Our correspondent Carrie spoke with Kathleen Gibbons, founder of the Luxury Bingo event, and talks about why the Women's Care Center is close to her heart.
I'm joined today with Kathleen Gibbons, who is the founder of the project that the Women's Care Center in Columbus puts on every year, which is the Luxury Bingo event for the Women's Care Center. Welcome to the Trumpet, Kathleen. Tell us a little bit about what the mission is of the Women's Care Center, and then how you came to be part of this this bingo event and what this fundraiser is about.
Thank you. Women's Care Center was founded in 1984 by a young professor, Janet Smith, in South Bend, Indiana. Jump ahead then 29, 30 years later, and there are over 25 centers around the United States, mostly in the Midwest. Today, it's the largest and most successful pregnancy center in the United States. Basically, what we do is we support these women with a variety of services. The most important thing, the most important tool we have besides our fabulous, fabulous counselors is our ultrasounds. We make sure that they get free pregnancy tests. Then also, if they are pregnant, that they receive counseling and they have the opportunity to have an ultrasound. All the services that we provide are free of charge. A few years ago, I was asked to help with some of the fundraising and special events, and I suggested that we do an event, and I came up with an idea called Luxury Bingo. And basically the concept is playing bingo, but for luxury items. So last year we started it, and it was so tremendously successful. As a result of last year's event, which we were able to make $167,000 at, we, an all-volunteer committee, we were able to be in the black for the first time in the 5 years that we've been open here in Columbus. That was a blessing, and it is a blessing in itself. It's a great event. It's at Mir Nova in the Ivory Room downtown. Very luxurious, beautiful scene of the city. And then we also do a live auction, and people love that too. This year, some of the bingo items that we have prizes like Tory Burch purse, we've got trips to the Greenbrier, we've got spa packages, high-end, Ohio State, of course, which is a big one. Urban and Shelley Meyer are on our board. Are lucky to have, and we really focus on the Ohio State aspect. Great tickets to Ohio State games. And we also have, of course, Bishop Campbell, who's on our board, who's fabulous and very, very much in support of this mission. He has been an integral part of our fundraising and has been really helped us in growing and building our foundation here in Columbus. For the Women's Care Center, we're saving more babies and working with more moms and trying to provide more programs for these women. And so we think it's important to, and we know in order to do that, we've got to raise our money here locally to support these projects. There's a variety of services that we offer at Women's Care Center. We provide one-on-one goal counseling. We encourage them to get back in school. We want them to become self-sufficient and independent. We offer parenting classes, which are essential. We want them to become good parents if they're going to be parents, or we want them to consider adoption as an option. Very important. Whatever it is that's troubling the mother, we want to be there for them. We want to offer them the support and the love that they need, and we want to give them the best opportunity they have to become successful, either as a parent with their child or as a mother who would give her child up for adoption. This is really important for Columbus. The Catholic community needs to get behind Women's Care Center because we are truly saving lives day in and day out, but can't do it without the financial support. Please pray for the very courageous counselors and the very, very courageous mothers who are choosing lives for their babies despite the obstacles and difficulties that they're facing. It's important to know that all money that's donated for this event and donated for the Columbus Women's Care Center stays right here in Franklin County, providing the services for our local girls and mothers here. So know that any contributions that are made will benefit people that are in our own community. And this is, if you'd like further information about this, you can contact Ann Jones, who's our outreach director. You can email Ann at mamajones@live.com. Thank you for supporting Women's Care Center, and thank you for praying for us and believing in this important cause.
Thank you, Kathleen, and we look forward to supporting Women's Care Center for this upcoming event on June 26th. Thank you for joining us on The Trumpet.
For more information on the Women's Care Center in Columbus, please visit supportwomenscarecentercolumbus.org. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. It's 20 minutes past the hour. I'm your host, Chip Stalter. Laura LeCompte is the Director of Faith Formation and RCIA at the St. Thomas More Newman Center at Ohio State. She joined the Newman Center staff in August 2013 after serving as the Associate Director of Catholic Campus Ministry at the University of Chicago for 5 years. The Newman Center has been providing some exciting opportunities for the students to assist in their faith journey, such as RCIA, Bible studies, Buckeye Catholic Student Organization, Catholic After Dark, IHOP, which is the Intense Hour of Prayer, followed by Pancakes, Theology on Float, a speaker series with Root Beer Floats, Tuesday Night Live, a social and fellowship gathering, and many service projects. Dominic Demetay, our campus correspondent for Ohio State University, spoke with Laura about the activities that the OSU campus ministry has worked with during the past year and her observations about the faith on campus.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for joining us today on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and so my understanding is this is your first year at the Newman Center. You just completed
Yes.
your first year. And tell us a little bit about how you've experienced Catholic faith being lived out on campus at the Newman Center.
Well, and just kind of reflecting upon the year over this past week, especially with graduation, with the end of RCIA, with kind of everything coming to completion, you know, I've had a lot of time to kind of reflect on the year. And something that really stuck out to me even in this past Sunday's gospel on the road to Emmaus, when the disciples were talking about how their hearts were burning within them when Jesus spoke to them on the road. I've just been kind of reflecting on how throughout the journey of this year, my first year at the Newman Center, how there's been different moments where kind of my heart's been burning through the witness of the students to the gospel and their deep desire to live their faith, to continue to grow in their faith, but also their desire to bring others to share in the joy that they've found as they've grown in their faith at OSU. So it's been really powerful to witness and to really just kind of reflect on the beauty of the faith of our students and the opportunity that they have to grow together.
Laura, as the Director of Faith Formation, you're involved with RCIA?
Yes, I direct RCIA.
Great. And can you share a little bit about how your experience with RCIA and have there been college students that have gotten involved with that?
Yes, absolutely. So there were 8 who came through RCIA this year, 6 of which were college students, 1 child. And we had 8 sponsors, 7 of which were students. And we also had 2 of our Break Open the Word leaders were students who had done it for the first time this year. And then we also had 3 different student team members who were a part of planning the retreats, who were there for each of the RCIA sessions throughout the year, who were there in special ways through the Easter Vigil to kind of assist and welcome our brothers and sisters into the church. So it's been a really beautiful process this year. So.
And what other programs that you're involved in?
Well, I'm really excited because next year we will be doing confirmation preparation, which we do every other year with college students at the Newman Center. So it'll be another opportunity to bring together a team of students and a team of sponsors to support those who are maybe raised Catholic but haven't gone through confirmation yet. So another really great opportunity to prepare college students for the sacraments. But I also help with other faith formation initiatives like our Bible studies that we co-sponsor with St. Paul's Outreach. I've been doing a lot of work with that, especially this past semester with the Bible study oversight team. And with our student organization, the Buckeye Catholic Student Group, they've been doing a lot of really wonderful new initiatives for the Tuesday night programs, Catholic After Dark and Tuesday Night Live. Catholic After Dark is a faith formation, spiritual formation event that happens every other Tuesday. And a couple of their creative ideas have been IHOP, which is Intense Hour of Prayer. So they do an hour of praise and worship and a different prayer form. And then they go upstairs for pancakes. And then they have Theology on Float, where we have a speaker come and they have root beer floats, which has also been really wonderful. This past Theology on Float, a couple weeks ago during Holy Week, we had a speaker on theology of the body. And the students really, really were excited about that. And so we're hoping to have, you know, a lot more great speakers come in to talk with students.
Great. And if anyone wanted more information on how to get involved with the Newman Center, how could they find that information?
Best way is BuckeyeCatholic.com. Slash students. But if you go to BuckeyeCatholic.com, you can find basically any way to get involved at the Newman Center, our calendar, and where we're located.
Well, thank you very much, Laura.
Thank you.
For more information on the Newman Center, please visit BuckeyeCatholic.com. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. We'll be back next Monday at noon with a brand new episode. If you have a story idea or event or something really crazy good going on at your parish that you want the world to know about, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.
Hey, parents, you don't need the latest gizmo slang or clothes to be a perfect parent, because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.